And we welcome Francisca de Gasperis, Southern African Faith Communities Environment Institute. Welcome, Francisca. It's good to have you back.
Good morning. Thank you. And you?
Do you know that it's International Day of Happiness? And we're demanding of everybody that we interact with a reason to be happy today.
Fantastic. Well, my reason to be happy today is this rain that we really need in the Cape. It's falling quite heavily around Cape Town, and that's just what we need. I know it's a bit early this year, but the dams are getting empty, so I'm very pleased we're getting the rain.
Okay, now that's good reason to be happy. Absolutely, Francisca. Are you happy about Coburg and its extended lifespan?
Well, I think what's good about it is that we have had a chance to make a substantive submission to the National Nuclear Regulator. This has been requested from Coburg. So we had a chance to really look at the issues at Coburg. And so that's what I'm here to talk about.
No, absolutely. And I'm quite looking forward to the conversation. Are you happy, though, with what's in place at this moment in time to secure a longer lifespan?
Look, you know, nuclear power stations are high risk, highly technical, and very expensive ventures. And one of the things that's really important with them is transparency around safety and very, very good public participation.
Absolutely.
And both those areas have been insufficient to date, in our view. Our view is that the information that was provided when we were told about the long-term extension of Coburg was heavily censored, redacted, so large blacked-out sections in the safety case, which shouldn't be necessary if you're really wanting to be transparent and let people know what the issues are and how they're being dealt with. Some of them were quite substantive and haven't been addressed yet, which is a big worry. And, you know, there's been a litany of issues at Coburg over the years, very high-profile resignations, issues around, you know, billions being wasted for poor planning and poor procurement, and not having done sufficient work when it's due. And then, of course, there's the issue of the public around Coburg being adequately consulted. I don't even think most of them even know this is going on, which is a worry.
I've not received anything in my letterbox, and I'm a couple of kilometers away from Coburg. If you're working a nuclear power station like Coburg, do you not have to conform to international law, maybe norms and certainly standards? And that at least needs to be transparent.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. There's recommendations. There's, you know, the International Atomic Regulator. But you, and I think there's efforts being made, but, you know, it's best practice, and different countries do things differently. South Africa's nuclear power station was built with the French, and we aren't following the French guidelines of what they do with power stations like this. I can say that. They usually, if they look to extend the life, once they've done a proper safety assessment, which is an issue which we can come back to, but if they look to extend the life, they usually look for only 10 years. And South Africa is going straight to 20 years. You know, these are, I mean, it's going to be 40 years old next year. So these, it's an aging power station built with tech from the 70s, built with the idea that it would be decommissioned now. So there needs to be a very good reason for why we need to extend its life. And I'm afraid the argument that we need that energy is actually not the case.
Yeah, the argument is that it's the cheapest source of energy and that they need the base load that it produces. Francisca de Gasperis, my guest, Southern African Faith Communities Environmental Institute. She is executive director of, is it SAFCI, the South African Faith Communities Environmental Institute, a multi-faith environmental NGO. The French, we believe, at least this has been in the media, we believe that they are part of the renovation process. Is that correct, an assumption?
Yes, it is correct. But, you know, for example, there was a 1 billion rand fine last year because they came out to look at the containment buildings that were meant to be built and they hadn't been built. So You know, I don't know if we could speak to one of the, off the record, one of the French engineers who's been working with South Africa and what they think of the safety at Coburg. But I think from our side, we're not following the South African procedure of proper consultation of local communities. We also aren't being transparent in our energy procurement. And to get back to this issue of whether we need this stable energy on the grid, I don't know if people realize, but one or other of the nuclear units, there's two at Coburg, have been offline for the last 18 months. So it hasn't been a stable energy source. And to extend its life, we're having to take it off now, which means that right now, at the most critical time that we need that energy, it's offline. So it's a challenge that it doesn't make sense to take off this so-called critical energy at the most critical time, rather invest all those billions in energy sources that are cheap to install, not risky, and don't need a stable grid to function. I mean, it's one of the other huge worries with Coburg is that a nuclear power station needs a stable grid to function on, and ours is anything but stable right now.
I'd like to know what you're comparing it to when you say cheaper sources.
Well, renewable energy is far cheaper to install and to run. Far, far cheaper. I mean, if you look cost per cost right now, you'll see it's the cheaper energy source. What people say, why people say nuclear energy is cheap is because they externalize or remove the cost of keeping the waste. So waste from nuclear power stations and the highly radioactive waste,
sure,
you know, it can remain active for 24,000 years. I mean, no one's talking about how much that would cost. No one's talking about how much it would cost to decommission a power station, and that amount isn't built into the so-called cheap electricity that we use. So, you know, when we talk about the cheapness of nuclear, we're not actually looking at its full life cycle, which is what we have to take into account if we're talking about the true cost of the electricity.
Let's go to some of the questions in, and I think I talked to some of the questions asked already, but we'll go there nonetheless. If we have the original French manufacturers on the job, surely that's the best option. Apparently they are, and it continues. They built it and know how to extend its life safely. That's Eddie in Somerset West. That's one. The other message reads, can you ask your guests how we can balance the lifespan of Coburg and the need in South Africa for steady supply of power, says Martin. And in the wake of those two questions, surely the International Energy Regulator would license Coburg for this extension once complete.
Well, yes. I mean, it's very behind. The so-called extension that we're going through is very behind. And when you look more closely at what is needed to extend the life of a nuclear power station, which I'm sure many of the listeners aren't aware of, you have to actually go into structures that aren't meant to be you know, the whole point of a nuclear power station is that it's contained. You contain the radioactive waste. You contain the radioactive areas. But some of the corrosion that's been registered inside the containment buildings due to salt water, due to wear and tear, you know, cement doesn't last that long either. It needs to be repaired. But by going in, you actually weaken the structure of the existing building. So there's all kinds of issues around extending the life of the nuclear power station, which we'd like the government to tell us about. How are they doing the risk analysis? You know, asking the French to come and repair it is further down the line. What we should be saying is, do we need it now? And doing a fair and accurate analysis of our energy needs.
Francesca, we're going to need to wrap up. I think a very important question. 1970s, when Coburg was being constructed, the issues were very emotive. People were talking cataclysm. They were talking disaster for all of Cape Town. You're talking just transparency is what you need. And I'm pretty comfortable with that, because the more transparency is going to give us a greater peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the other problem, of course, is that we are metropolis. Cape Town's population has built hugely. No one would build a nuclear power station this close to so many people in this day and age. It would just not be allowed. So,
And we're growing in that direction, actually. Literally growing.
Exactly.
Okay, just another one in from Stellenbosch. Renewable energy does not provide power when the sun does not shine or the winds don't blow. Base load is a real thing. We cannot just talk it away. When you add batteries, and that's to, of course, renewables, it suddenly is not that cheap anymore, says Dani in Stellenbosch. Last comment.
Yes, from me, well, I would just like to say that the baseload argument about nuclear is not correct. We're talking about energy planning into the future. We do not have to have nuclear as part of our energy system. There are lots of alternatives, and I would love to have this discussion in more detail with your listeners. So I've really enjoyed this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Francesca de Gasperis, Southern African Faith Communities Environmental Institute. She represents them, and she wants to make sure Coburg is absolutely safe for us in the future.